This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
No, Peter is off today. Andrew is off today. It is me and Don. I am Anthony Pusick. This is ENN on this Friday, Black Friday evening. And even though they're not here, I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying ENN is delivered by DoorDash. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. Now I could say good evening to Michael.
They motorboated the Lakers.
That was a lot.
And what, I was like,
yeah, it was. Me and Andrew weren't sure how many times we can get away with playing it, but so far we're good. And we'd like to say good evening to Don.
Absolutely.
Which I have confirmed is not a word.
That is, of course, and I think I knew that when I said it.
You probably did.
I just thought it was fun. I was trying to accentuate whatever point I was trying to make.
Well, it made a great drop. And, of course, good evening to everyone.
But did it make sense?
Not really.
Which got me giggled.
If anybody has seen the video of Don at UBS Arena on Wednesday, completely beat red, that is where that came from Wednesday's ENN. Hopefully we can get something similar to that today.
Hopefully.
And at the bottom of the hour, of course, we will be taking you to coverage of the Knicks and the Suns pregame with Pat O'Keefe, the Knicks at the Garden at 7 o'clock. But we had three football games yesterday. Well, three NFL games were played. Whether or not football was played in the first one, that's up for debate. But if you were awake for it, whether the turkey put you to sleep or just the gameplay, the Bears did end up winning on a Cairo Santos field goal. At the end of the game, the Lions found another way to lose a football game, and they lost 16-14. Now, Don, if you remember earlier in the week, we were talking about the possibility of Matt Nagy being fired. There was a report that he would be fired after the Thanksgiving game, and he talked about it in the post-game press conference.
So there was a report that came out that was false, and that's where it started. And then we had practice, and we continued with our days, and we had our practices like we normally would, and I cleared it up with the team. And then, as I think everybody is aware, the next day, George came in and had a good talk with the team and confirmed that that was true, and then we went about our business.
To me, this is the most interesting story of that game. Obviously, of course, as a Giant fan, and if you are a Giant fan, you would have hoped the Lions pulled that one out because, of course, the Giants do have the Bears' first-round pick this year because of the Justin Fields acquisition by the Bears. So now they move up a little bit in the draft. But really, the story here is whether or not Matt Nagy stays. It hasn't seemed to really been working offensively. Andy Dalton, of course, was the starter for this game because Justin Fields was out. And I don't know if a 16-14 win on Thanksgiving over the Lions makes his job any more secure than it was a week ago.
No, it's over. And there's a couple of different ways to handle this. I was actually listening to Greeny when I was driving out to Long Island on Wednesday, and he jogged my memory about how the 2003 season ended for the Giants. Similar circumstances, and the Giants just said, hey, this is Fossil's last year. He's done. Now, I think there was maybe like two games left, so it was later in the year than with the Nagy situation, but it was just like, we're not gonna mince words here. He's gone. And they went out and they played. They finished out, and he did a good job as far as like keeping everything together and then just left. Nagy's not going to survive this. He's not. But I guess they just didn't want the circus atmosphere of the nationally televised Thanksgiving game. They did get him a win, so maybe he'll finish out the season, but he is no longer going to be the coach of the Bears after the season is over. And I'm kicking myself. I wish I had a little bit more confidence in myself. It was off the air. I was talking to you guys during the break, and I said, if I had to pick all three of these games. Now, as a matter of fact, I think I mentioned it on the air. All the teams I would have picked on Sunday would have covered. I loved the Lions to win the game outright. They didn't, but I would have gotten that. I like the Raiders, and I like the Bills. I picked the Bills as my three-point play, so I'm not that disgusted with myself. But if I just had the confidence, I could have 6 points before we even got done with Thursday, and I backed off the two games that I liked.
Well, Don, you saw it on our text chat, which is always a popular topic on the show. Peter said he was kicking himself. He wanted to pick all three. He ended up going with the Bucks. And of course, Peter went 1-for-1 on the day. He won, obviously, the Bills game. We all won the Bills game.
Which was a loss for him because Michael and I had as our three-point play. Peter right. has it as his two. So he's probably upset that he won those two.
And as of right now, Michael and Peter are tied in points. Yep. And a good week for you, Don, and a slip up by maybe Michael or Peter. We're really neck and neck here. We're like the NFL, a lot of parity here
it
in our picks.
It could be a fun final 6 weeks of the season if I can pick up my wins. I've got the Titans getting 6.5, and I've got the Jets getting, 2.5.
That's right.
So that's what I'm going with.
And we will be discussing the Jets a little bit later. Let's take a listen to 9:20 a.m. out in Vegas, Brent Musburger announcing, essentially, the loss of Peter's pick.
On its way! Yes, the Raiders come up a winner, upsetting the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving afternoon, 36-33, and they snap the three-game losing streak and jump right back into the thick of playoff talk. 36-33.
What a game.
Unbelievable.
What a game.
An instant classic on Thanksgiving afternoon in Dallas.
And that was the final score of the game, but really the big story in this one, Don, and I know you said that you were eating around this time, but it was a topic throughout the day. The penalties in this game,
it
was a lot. There were a lot of penalties.
Bogus roughing the passer, bogus pass interference. Those are usually two of the biggest complaints you get in an NFL game is the roughing the passer and the pass interference.
You were basically looking down at the bottom of the score bug to see if there was going to be another penalty called. I have the numbers here. Dallas was the NFL leader in penalty yards coming into the game, but they had 14 for a franchise record, 166 yards, while Vegas had 14 for 110. Typically rough day for Anthony Brown, the Cowboys corner. He had 4 DPI calls on him, 1 coming in that final drive, setting up the game-winning field goal. But of course, the game-winning field goal couldn't happen until a false start, an encroachment, and another encroachment, which actually gave Vegas a first down, and they elected to just kick it anyway, as opposed to trying to punch it in for a touchdown. After the game, Mike McCarthy, he wasn't happy.
You know, the game was herky-jerky all the way through from start to finish. I give our guys credit to continue to focus and battle. But, yeah, I mean, the numbers are absurd. Definitely understand that. I just think like everything in this game, it's, there's trends and patterns. And, we anticipated, this game being, officiated this way. But in the same breath, it's the line that you have to straddle. I don't want our guys slowing down and playing slower, because we've tried that already. That didn't help us, over-coaching the penalties a few weeks back. So, we're going to get up on the balls of our feet, keep fighting, and, we just got to really focus on our fundamentals and the finish of plays, and, we'll take a hard look at it. We evaluate the penalties every week. We break them down, and they'll be part of our fundamental, emphasis.
McCarthy has little kitchens in him, doesn't he, Don?
Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
Herky, jerky, turkey, ducky.
I was talking to Ray Santiago, our resident Cowboy fan, trying to talk him off the ledge and telling him, listen, it's okay. You're going to win this division. You should be fine. None of the other three teams are going to take advantage of your struggles. But
not if Andrew's team has anything to say about it.
Yeah, you don't know, right?
Well, hey there.
You keep losing, and maybe you can make it a story. And the Eagles have found their way. Washington has had some big wins. So as we look at the standings right now in the NFC's Eastern Division, the Cowboys are 7-4. If the Eagles can win their game against the Giants, they'd be just 2 games back. If Washington can win their game, they would just be 2 games back in the loss.
Yep.
And, the Giants, I don't think, are going to be able to take advantage. So
no.
If they're not careful, there could be a little bit of trouble in Big D.
It does make it even more frustrating, though, Don, because we've been talking about it on the show since probably week four. If the Giants take the game against the Washington football team that they realistically could have won, and the Falcons game, and looking at both those teams right now, the Falcons are around 500. They're not world beaters. The Giants beat the Raiders, who are around the same record, and the Raiders just beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And the Washington football team, you're taking a look at a team that has 5 wins, and you feel a little bit better about a chance, especially if Dallas is struggling the way they are, that they're at least within striking distance of the division. But, of course, That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. Just looking back on it, a lot more frustrating than maybe the games where they get blown out that they're not supposed to win.
But that's how the Giants lose, Anthony. I'm not going to play that game. That's what they've been doing for the last 5 years. So, no, I'm not going to do it because they lose games like that. But you take a look at Dallas. They've got a three-game road trip here. They're at New Orleans, at Washington, at the Giants, and then they come home for Washington. So Washington's got two games left with the Cowboys. So, and the Cowboys finish up the season in Philadelphia against the Eagles. So who knows? It may not be over. But just the constant conversation now, who is the best team in the NFC? You thought it was Dallas, and now all of a sudden you're not sure what losses to the Raiders and the Broncos. Is it the Packers? And you've got the Aaron Rodgers situation. Plus, they had a bad loss last week to Minnesota, where they came back only to lose on a last-second field goal in a huge game against the Rams. Is it the Rams, who have not looked good over the last couple of weeks? Is it the Cardinals? Are they ready? Is it Tampa, because they're the defending champions? But, oh, by the way, they lost two in a row before getting right against the Giants. Who is the best team in the NFC, I ask you?
Yeah, and you have to think that the Cardinals have to still be in the conversation, because the only loss they have this year was with Colt McCoy. And Colt McCoy has actually looked pretty decent for them. You have to think, if they're healthy, if Murray and Hopkins are healthy, that's one of the best teams in football until proven otherwise.
All Colt McCoy does is win, right? He went to Seattle and beat the Seahawks last year. Listen, so we should expect him to win when he plays. But seriously, you're right. I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to say that Murray is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, but
no, because we just don't know.
I still will say that at the end of the day, the team to count on, even more so maybe than Brady and the Buccaneers, because it's tough to win back-to-back, is you wonder, Green Bay's really good.
Yeah.
And if Rodgers is healthy and if he can overcome this foot thing, and even with the foot problems, he still did some good things against Minnesota. You know, the week before that, coming back from COVID, had a really good second half. So, you know, it's a quarterback's league, so I guess it's between Brady and Rodgers. Who's going to get it done?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, and Don, I remember you mentioned this earlier. Adam Schefter did tweet about it. The Raiders-Cowboys game, most watched NFL regular season game on any network since 1990. So anybody who tuned in to hear this, 38.531 million.
Yeah.
And on a conversation that we were having about best team in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills did, in the nightcap, beat, which I only was able to catch a little bit of, but I really only needed to see a little bit, because they beat the Saints 31-6. They actually kept it pretty close. The Saints defense was playing well in the first half, and it kind of got away from them in the second. Really, the Saints could not move the ball down the field. Trevor Siemian is not the answer there, obviously. Jameis Winston was supposed to be the guy that they wanted in that situation. But the big thing that comes out of this game, Don, Tre'Davious White left the game with an injury. It did not look good, and it has been confirmed that is a torn ACL for him.
Yeah.
And he will be out for the remainder of the season. You look at with how close, as we've talked about, the NFL is this year. That's a big loss for a team that's already got the Patriots ahead of them. No Tre'Davious White's going to be a big loss for the Bills.
That stinks. That stinks for them for sure. But that was found money. Honestly, if you bet that game, to get it under a touchdown, really, the Saints were so banged up. I know the Saints are home, but still, you knew the Bills were going to bounce back. That was an easy three-point play for me.
Yeah.
And for Michael.
And Kamara was out. Ingram was a maybe. Ingram ended up not playing at all. You feel pretty comfortable with that 6.5.
And I took it, got my three. Second consecutive week, I get my three on Thursday. But hopefully I'll do better than last week when I lost my Sunday game. So go Jets and go Titans.
And for anybody that hated that pick,
you can sniff my socks.
That's right. Well, Don, you were talking about it's audition day for the Giants and the Jets on Sunday. A lot of different auditions. Well, the Giants aren't bringing the full deck, which I feel like we've been saying all year. Adam Schefter tweeted, the Giants have ruled out wide receiver Sterling Shepard. He has a quad injury. Tight end Caden Smith with a knee injury. Tight end Kyle Rudolph with an ankle and Kadarius Toney with a quad are listed as doubtful, so I would venture to guess they're not playing. And Saquon Barkley, still on the injury report with an ankle, he's listed as questionable. He said today he left practice early, but it was because of the Thanksgiving dinner he had, and we'll leave it at that. He had to he had to go to the bathroom. That's what he said. So you'd imagine that Barkley's playing, but we still don't know who is calling the plays. Joe, Judge, who's calling the plays?
I don't know. Maybe we'll just draw names. I'm not sure.
No.
Well, you can only have one person because of the way the headsets are set up anyway, direct communication.
So maybe we could draw him out of a hat.
What game are you playing here?
This this was 2 days ago. I'm not sure if he confirmed today.
No,
I don't think he did.
Because what happened, from what I understand today, and I've been very, very busy working.
We've had a lot going on today.
No, but from what I understand is that I think it's today that the coordinators are made available.
Right.
And the Giants did not make the offensive coordinator available, who I guess would be the play caller. So they are playing it very coy on who's going to call the plays. And I just wonder, do you think Philadelphia is like shaking in their boots? Like, oh, we don't know who's going to be the play caller. Oh, my God. Of course it's going to be Kitchens.
And it's Kitchens.
He's the guy that's experienced. He's the one that called the plays last year when
Garrett had COVID.
Garrett was out with COVID.
Yes.
So I don't know why they're playing this game, but they're playing it and whatever. Maybe it's just a case of if the play calling is awful, there won't be anybody to blame it on. I don't know. But they're keeping it quiet. So I don't know. And then you're right, there's injuries. But you know what? If you're looking for excuses, the NFL is the perfect place because there's always somebody hurt. There's always some built-in excuse. Come on. Go out there and just play well. All right, you don't beat Philadelphia. You don't beat them. But can you play well? Can you play competent? Can we see some variety, some imagination with the play calling? And I said split with Philadelphia, so lose to them, beat them in Philly later in the season. But make sure you get the 4-3. That's all I'm saying.
Over the last couple of years, it doesn't seem to matter who is playing in Philly, what quarterback, what coach. The Giants have struggled in Philly, against Philly, all of it. The Ingram drop, everybody remembers. You want to try and split with Philly. You hope you split. You'd hope that this is a game where maybe they're a little revitalized. Freddie Kitchens possibly calling the plays. Somebody good, different calling the plays. We'll see how different the offense looks. There was reports that the offensive coaching staff was asking guys what plays they like the best. That can only go well.
Well, this would be weak of Joe Judge, and I don't think he would do this, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
But is he calling the plays and then just doesn't want to admit that? That way, if it's a complete you-know-what show, that it can't be pinned on him?
I think we'd be able to see, right?
Like
if he's calling them?
Yeah, like you said, only one person can call the plays with the headset. So, is it going to be him? Is it going to be Kitchens? I just don't know why you're being so coy about it, but whatever. We'll talk about it on Monday for sure.
Absolutely. One more thing, Don, before we get out of here. We have a lot of friends of the show. One of them is Coach Rick Pitino, and we have to give him his props. His Iona Gales upset number 10 Alabama, 72-68 in the opening round of the ESPN Events Invitational. MAC teams are now, Don, get this, 1-119 in games against AP top 10 squads. Pitino is that one. He has now defeated a top 10 team at four different schools, Providence, Kentucky, Louisville, and Iona. And with that, that'll do it for ENN. Which is delivered by DoorDash. Imagine a world where you didn't have to pay delivery fees. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. DoorDash.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.